I will leave.
We love you.
Thank you.
It's been 3 hours that I haven't called. And I never know when it's going to start. And I just ask you to bear with me, and we'll try to get through this. Talking about, Danny was talking about, and people talking about what time you could have to have that study. You know, there are some things you just have to make time. There was one preacher that I read about some time ago that he wanted to take different members and train them to be leaders in groups. And he asked this one gentleman that he thought was quite qualified if he would take the time and go into that study for him. And he says, "I can't do it. I don't have time." And he said, "Will you do one thing for me?" He says, "What's that?" He says, "I want you to mark down everything that you do every 24-hour period for a week." And so a week, and said, "And then come back with me." Next week, he came back and says, "Pastor, I can do it." He said, "How do you know you can do it?" I said, "I was spending 32 hours before the TV." So some things you just have to make time for them. All right, tonight I'm going to concentrate on the first Psalm. But before I go there, I want to go back and lead up to that Psalm, going over to the book of Hebrews in the very same verse that Josh used here just a short time ago, in the 12th chapter, that first verse. And while you're turning there, if you want to, well, I've done it a little bit different. All my scriptures that I want to use is right there. I printed them out. So I'm slow anyway, and then flipping pages, I have a terrible time. And so I just got my scriptures typed out, and if you don't get time to flip to them, that's all right. But in that 12th chapter, in the very first verse, it says this: "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." I want to concentrate tonight on the race that is set before us. And to back up in that same verse now, I'm not going to dwell on that part about Josh covered this pretty well, but there's one particular part that I want to mention here. It says that, seeing that we are compassed about with such a great a cloud of witnesses. And I was meditating upon this. Some people say, "Well, we don't know what that great cloud is." Well, usually when I look up and see a day, there's clouds up there. And so I presume that great cloud of witnesses is there before us. Now, what are they witnessing? They're witnessing how we run the race. Now, if you think about how many people were saved from the time of Adam and Eve until this present time, and they're up there, and they're critics of every one of us. How often? Well, that'll take me to another point a little bit later. But I think that cloud of witnesses is observing everything that we do day by day. The just shall live by faith. And so how are we living by faith? How much of these weights and sins are we willing to lay aside to really concentrate on what's important? We look at this, and if I have that many people up there witnessing against me, man, that kind of makes you wonder what in the world is the Lord thinking. And the one thing about it, the Lord knows all about it. He knows it before we do it or before we don't do it. And then these people say, "Well, I can verify it. I can verify it." So that great cloud of witnesses. And by the way, when do we start this race? When did we start the race? And another question you might ask: who are we running against? Well, several times in the scriptures, Paul especially, he uses athletics to talk about a physical athletic race, and then he makes a comparison with that as to what exactly that means to us. And as I began to think about that, I was trying to think, well, was there any time in the scripture where maybe the apostles just ran a race? I happened to come up with one. Peter and John, when they heard about the resurrection of Christ, John outran him. But you know what? John stood there on the outside of the tomb, looking in, and waited for Peter to come along to enjoy the same benefits that he was going to leave, going to enjoy. So the race really wasn't against one another. It was a great, it was a race to see that tomb that was open. And so what is the race that we are running? The race that we are running is to, well, I want you to read over in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul, what he speaks about there in verses 4 and 7. Second Timothy, chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. So what is the goal of our running the race? The second coming of Christ. We should never lose sight of the second coming of Christ. All the time that the apostles were preaching and teaching, that was the goal, that was the very thing that he always wanted to keep in mind, that the second coming of Christ is the thing that we need to be looking forward to. Now, it's been over 2,000 years since the Lord Jesus Christ left, but even the apostles, when the Lord says, hey, you're going to establish the kingdom now? They were already ready for it, don't you see? And if they were ready for it at that time, how much more, especially as we see this old wicked, Danny mentioned this city, and there's some that's a whole lot worse than Lexington, I'm sure. And as we see that day approaching, how much more that we ought to have the desire to see the second coming of Christ. And I'll tell you what, when you get my age, you'll be looking for it a whole lot more. I heard David Jeremiah say the other day, he said, you know, I think I'm going to be here when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. I do too. As old as I am, I'm still thinking the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. And if he doesn't come today, I'm going to look for him tomorrow. I'm anticipating it. And it's like David Jeremiah said also, I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the upper taker. And I believe that. And I'll tell you what, I mentioned to some people down in Brazil one time, says, let's get together and just have a discussion about death. You know, I didn't get any takers. But you know, it's not too bad a thought. For to me, to die is gain. But he says sometimes, he says it's also better for you to stick around. And I don't like to say that about myself, but whether you're better off if I stick around or not. But I'll tell you what, heaven's looking a whole lot better every day. Heaven's looking a lot better every day. But Paul says here, I have finished. I fought a good fight. Well, what he's saying is that I've been running. And I finished my course. I fought a good fight. And I can say that very same thing of myself. I don't know how good a fight that I fought, but I finished my course. And about the only thing I can claim here is that I might say with the Apostle Paul, I've kept the faith. In the very beginning of my ministry, when I got saved, in just a short time, I began to formulate what I was going to believe throughout my life. You know what? Basically, the thought, the beliefs haven't changed much over all these years. They're still truth, and I still believe the same thing. And so I believe that I have kept the faith. Now, by the way, I don't think that's just the faith of salvation. I think it is the faith, a system of faith where you believe everything that God teaches about the church and everything that we ought to be doing. Some people don't know what they believe. But I am still basically believing the very same thing that I believed over 60 years ago. Now, I've made some modifications in those along the way. Of course, we do. And some of them, I've got some fortification of those also. But in this, I want you to notice in this verse, read again. I have fought a good fight. I finished the course. I have kept the faith. And from now on, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous God shall give me at that day. At what day? At that day of the coming of Christ. And he says, not to me only, but to all those who look for his coming. All those that have that. Now, almost every Christian that you ever talk to, they are, in one sense of the word, looking forward to it. But Paul's saying looking forward to it with such intensity that is the very thing that drives you forward. And as I begin to think on that or so about that crown, he says, give you a crown of righteousness. Over in the book of Revelation, when he's talking about the church, he says the faithfulness is the righteousness of the saints. The righteousness of the saints. And so I begin to think about that even today. He gave us and said he laid up for us a crown. We haven't got it yet. It's laid up for us. And I begin to think, what is that crown? He said, it's the crown of righteousness. So when did you get your righteousness? When did you get the righteousness of Christ? It was the day that you truly found yourself lost in sin and was on the way to hell, and you turned from that to the righteousness of God, and he laid up for you a crown of righteousness. Now, what in the world is a crown made out of? I say that crown that he laid up for you is a crown of silver, because silver represents redemption. And with redemption, that crown is laid up there. You don't have it yet. He said, I will give it to you in that day of when the Lord comes back. It's laid up for you. My throat's already getting dry. So if that is laid up for us there, what do you suppose the Lord's doing with it? Why hadn't he given it to us already? He's putting crowns on it as you live faith and as you walk by faith. I hate to do this. So if it's a crown, I can imagine that the Lord's got those all laid out there. And that great crowd of witnesses is witnessing you and I what we're doing, how that we are made justified by the blood of Christ. And when we're obedient, then maybe come along and put a little crown there of diamonds. A little bit of gold here, a little bit of gold there. And it won't be until we finish this race, until we're going to know what all is included in that crown of righteousness. It's silver now. You know something? That part of it you can't lose. That redemption that he gives us, you can't lose it. It's there. It's going to be yours. But I was also thinking today, wouldn't it be a shame to stand there before the Lord Jesus Christ, take off that crown, and nothing but silver. And all I do is say, thank you, Lord. I can't forgive you. Is that all we're going to do? Looking forward? Do we not want to have something that we can, on that crown that we can lay down to the Lord, so whereby that we walk by faith day by day? And I hope when he puts it on there, it's on secure, because along the way of my unfaithfulness in my life, I can shake some of that gold off of it here and there. So it's a matter of 24 hours, 7 days, 24/7. That we're supposed to live this walk of faith. Now, we get back to running. I remember seeing on television one day on the Special Olympics, these two little boys, they were running a race, and they were sitting down children. They started out here. They were running. One was just a little bit ahead of the other. And this one was back here. He fell down. The other turned around, looked at him, picked him up, set him back on his feet. The only thing that they wanted to do was finish the race. And brethren, that's all we need to do is just finish the race. Running right the race. But how do we run? I'm not running against Paul. I'm not running against you. I'm running for the prize. The crown. I finished my course. And this has come full circle just the last few days. Sunday, for instance, how I fouled up all the song services. And Tonight I'm not doing much better. But I finished my course. It's laid up for me. It's complete. Whatever I've done, day by day, and all those mistakes that I've made down the road, there'll be some blank spots. Many blank spots on that. But whatever it is, when I stand before Him, I remember back when I was first saved and said, man, if I win a crown, said I'm not going to give it to anybody. But then I began to get some understanding of the Scriptures. I'll lay it down at the feet of Jesus, who's worthy. If there was ever anything good that ever came out of my mouth or out of my life, it's because He did it. He did it. It wasn't because I did anything along the way. All I did was just walk day by day with the Lord, doing whatever He thought. Something else that entered my mind. Somebody said, did you ever pray for anything that was absolutely impossible for you to do and depend upon the Lord to do it? And I said, well, I can't remember about praying much of it. But what I did, just as I walked day by day, I just kind of looked for whatever the Lord might want me to do and do it. And it wind up, you know, even if I had a thought to want to do it, it was because He put the thought on my mind. If I ever accomplished what I set out to do, it's because He accomplished it. And it's nothing more than just something that I can lay down at the feet of Jesus. Oh my. Well, in the race, in Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, He says, know ye not that they which run the race, run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. Now, of course, there He was speaking about a natural physical race that we run. But then He uses an illustration to show us. He said, run that you may obtain. And so our running now is what's important to us. And then in Galatians, He tells us in chapter 5, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And so along the way, there are times when we just get so tired and we just say, what's the use? He said, somebody's hindered you. And there's always going to be someone along that is going to want to hinder you. There are demons on every side that's going to want to hinder you. And it's going to make you stop sometime and just quit running. Now, God makes a lot of promises in His Word. And they're good to claim. And I'd like to just mention one of them now. And we'll get to it when we go into the book of Psalms. How many times have you used the Scripture in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 where it says, and God shall supply all your needs according to His glory in Jesus by Christ Jesus. How many times have you said, well, whatever I do, God's going to bless me. God's going to supply my needs. The need might be the woodshed. And if you're real young, you may not know what that means. Danny and I know what that means. I expect David, the way he's shaking his head, he knows too. Yeah, back when we were younger, we went to the woodshed where the wood was to take what was coming to us. And so if you're going to claim that verse, that He will supply all your needs, remember, it might be the woodshed that you need to get you straightened out. But who has hindered you that you should not obey? And my, there's plenty to it. Now then, let's go to the book of Psalms. We're in the race. We're running. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So as we're running a race, and there's always someone or somebody or something that wants us to stop running. So what happens when you stop running? You're walking. And it says, now don't walk in the way of the ungodly. Then he also used in the next sentence about don't stand in the way of sinners. What's the difference between the ungodly and the sinner? Basically, before God, they're the whole world. But what I think about this, when you stop running, you begin to turn your eyes one way or the other to find something that's better. And the first thing you're going to do, you're going to be taking notes. of the person that, well, that guy over there, he could just seem like he could just live any way that he wants to, and he just prosper and never has to give an account for anything. Man, why can't I be like that? Now, that's the ungodly, that they have no respect. But what about that church member that absolutely will never study the Word, never pray, never do anything, just sit on the pew? And I heard about 30 years ago, one pastor said about 80% of our church members are lost. And that's right. But that was 30 years ago, and probably the ratio has been a little different since then. So if that be so, here we got a sinner. When we quit running, we're walking. And the very first thing we start to do, we start walking in the way of the ungodly. One step, the word leaping the road. And then he says, you don't stand the way of the ungodly. If you're running the race, keep running. You're not going to be blessed. He said, blessed is he that don't do these things. So he's taking the negative part here to show us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. But after you stop running and you're walking, and that's the very next thing is just standing. And say, well, that person in the church, they're not doing anything. I ain't going to do nothing. Then what's the next step? You sit in the seat of the scorn. The next thing you know, that preacher, he doesn't preach nothing but money. Yeah, that church is full of hypocrites. You see, you want to see what takes you? When you quit running. You stand. You sit. And you're just as bad as you've completely lost anything that might ever put anything in your crown. And you know what? You're also miserable. Now he says, you're blessed if you don't do this. You're blessed. Now do you want to be happy? Clean up our lives. Run the race. Get yourself in shape. But I want to go on with these next few verses here. Blessed. Do you want to be happy? He tells you how. Let us clean up our lives. Let's get back to running instead of just walking, sitting, and standing. Then you'll be blessed. You'll be happy. All right, the next verse he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he doth meditate on day and night. What is the thing that really controls our walk with the Lord, our run with the Lord? It's the lack of meditating on God's Word. And that's something that takes a lot of discipline that I wish I had more of. If you meditate on it day and night, you can go over into that fourth chapter of Philippians also. And he says, if there be anything, be any virtue, if there be anything good, if anything honest and so forth, if you think on these things, God will be with you. And so the way that our mind goes is usually the way that our feet go. If our mind runs fast in the Lord, our feet will also run fast. And he says, let us run for that crown. And what is a crown? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he will give us that crown. Now, meditate, meditate, meditate. Now I want you to look down in the next verse. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. You know what? You didn't just get saved by chance. You weren't saved by chance. And the providence of the Lord, he chose you. And he chose you out of a whole lot of people that he didn't choose. I don't know about the salvation of anybody else. I know about mine. I wouldn't trade mine for yours. I believe you're everyone saved, but I know what mine is. What a great salvation. And he says here, says, it's because he planted you. That signifies that it's a tree that was planted by many waters. If you want a tree to grow and to prosper, it's going to have to be planted through the water. Now, what does the water represent? It represents the Word of God. He's planted you in a place to take to where you can grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord by the water, the water of the Word. That comes back to that meditating again, don't you see? So he planted you there where there are many waters. And what do we say about that tree? He says, it's a tree that's going to be, where its leaf will never die. As long as you're drawing from that water, we're living here in the springtime when things begin to green up. What really makes a tree beautiful? The leaves, don't you see? And he mentioned that before the fruit. And so here he says, the leaves shall never turn loose or go away. They'll be green always. He wants your life, and as you run this race, he wants you to be beautiful. God looks upon you. How does he see you as you're running your race? How does he see me as we run our race? Does he see you as a pretty green tree? And then, you know what? It's not long after that green tree, when it's drawing from that water, drawing from what God gives us, it brings forth fruit. Now, we want to know why we're not winning souls, why we haven't won souls in our life. It's because we've not taken advantage of the water by the rivers where he's planted us. And by the way, he planted us. He didn't just let us grow up by ourselves. He planted us with a purpose. And the purpose was to buy water where you can grow and where you can prove the green leaves and be beautiful except before the lost and dying world. Then I want you to notice something else that he promises here. It'll bring fruit in its seasons, and it shall not wither. It's going to be beautiful. If as long as you're drawing from that those rivers of God's word. And he says, whatsoever you do will prosper. Man, wouldn't it be nice if we could just claim that? You remember what I said over there about the one in Philippians? Might have to take you to the woodshed. If we follow this, and if we're blessed the way he says, clean up our lives and get things going the way they ought to go, and running a race the way we ought to run, we're going to bring forth fruit. He's promised that. And then he says, everything that you do will prosper. Man, isn't that a great promise? But there's conditions, don't you see? The conditions is how you run the race. From the time that silver crown was laid out for you there by the Lord to the day that your life is finished. God's going to take every life that you have done, and he's going to place it on that crown to give you from the Lord Jesus Christ to the top. And then we're going to say, Lord, all that we call to you, here it is. Everything that you do will just follow the word. But then I want you to see what's next in this. But the ungodly are not so. Oh, mighty help, God, the ungodly are not so. Those lost people, they're not like that. You know, you see on TV a lot when some sports figure dies, and says, oh, he's looking down for us. And he's right with us. The ungodly are not so. I don't know about those people. They may be, they may not be. But I tell you what, in our day and age, you don't hear much preaching on hell. You don't hear much preaching against sin. But I tell you what, sin is a serious thing. God is perfect, the holy, perfectly righteous. And he will not permit not even that much sin in his presence. Not one bit, not one. How much sin do you have to sin to be condemned to hell? He said, because you have not, in John, the 3rd chapter, 18 verses, you're condemned already because you've not believed. And that belief not just, yeah, I believe Jesus dies for me. No, it's not that. It's that when you have to come before God and see that you're condemned and bound for a devil's hell and deserving every bit of it. But you say, I remember the time of my life, boy, when I came to that. And Lord, I could see the flames of hell trying to engulf me right away. And I said, Lord, I don't want this. And I found relief in Christ. And until people begin to understand that, well, they're not going to be saved. They're never going to see themselves lost. It says here, and the ungodly and the sinner will not stand in the congregation of the Lord. There's going to be a separation. When he judges the nations, he's going to put the sheep on the right and the lamb and the goat on the left. He's going to say that he's entered into the kingdom that's prepared for me. You fought perfect. For eternal hell, I never knew you. Oh, for me to win this study on the soul winning, that's one thing that's going to have to stress. But each series is not sin. Not what he did, God, not what he did, he's kingdom. And every bit has to be paid for. And it's either paid for the individual or the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's my message for tonight. Thank you. Danny?
Praise the Lord. You know, Brother Bobby spoke tonight on running the race. I've been studying the last week, so running the race. Oh, brother, you're a deputy, brother. Please say it. Let's be this man from the Word of Prayer. Brother Robinson, would you just let